through the ages, He has everything worked out for His glory and for His benefit and for the benefit of the kingdom. Amen. Many times folks get disturbed or perturbed or all anxious or out of sort because things aren't working out the way that they think they should work out. I mean, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, the demotion instead of the promotion they were expecting. But in God's timetable, everything works out for His benefit and to the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so many times we get frustrated. Amen. And why isn't He coming through for me? Well, He is coming through for you. Amen. Look at it through His perspective. Amen. Well, the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of the woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. The key word here and the key phrase is in the fullness of time. When God saw that all things were just right. I mean, it's one thing to go to that apple tree when things are not right, and to look at it and say, I just can't believe this is an apple tree. I mean, I have purchased this thing. The little tag said it was an apple tree. I planted it in the ground. And it's been 1 week and there's still no fruit. What in the world's going on here? I've invested good money in this thing. But give it the fullness of time. Amen. And you'll see within the fullness of time, if it is an apple tree, if that label was correct, that those leaves will start, or the little bud will start to come out on the ends of the branches, and pretty soon the little white bud will start to show on that tree, and leaves will come out. And not too much later, a little ball of fruit will come out on that tree. A matter of fact, several of them all over the tree called an apple. Amen. But the key phrase here is in the fullness of time. When things are all worked together the way that God would have them to be worked together, that's called the fullness of time. Amen. I mean, God throughout the ages has worked this way. And not just, I mean, we get short-sighted and we get narrow-minded and we think that God must be planning everything. I've got to fit into this picture and I've got to be here and be there. But God's picture is for eternity. And God's picture is for the kingdom. And we get short-sighted. I mean, if we don't get that job that we so desired, if we don't get that raise, if we don't get that settlement, if we don't get that a car, if we don't get all of these things, then we begin to lose sight of the whole picture of what God's trying to do in our life. Amen. Amen. A lot of times, God will use those things to bring us to a place where we need to be, where we can see His plan and see His picture. Amen. My dad worked 28, 29 years at a job that after he had put all of that time in, so much overtime, as kids, we don't hardly ever remember him being home. I mean, just overtime, overtime, overtime. And when it was just about ready, just about ripe for retirement, they shut the door. And they told him, well, you know, that pension that was supposed to be here is not here any longer. And all of the things that he had built his hope for and built his life up for were gone. Amen. I mean, ready to enjoy the good life. Ready to lay back and take it easy and go to the places that he's always wanted to go to and do the things that he's always wanted to do, because he was now going to be retired. And it's gone. Because he was short-sighted. He was looking, and no disrespect toward him at all. I mean, he worked hard to provide for a family, but he was looking toward a temporary end. Well, God is not looking toward a temporary end when he's working things out for your and my benefit. Oh, I can't believe I lost that contract. I can't believe I lost that job. I can't believe that. I mean, after so much time put into building this business, it seems to be slipping away from me right through my fingertips. Could it be, dear brother or sister, that's not God's plan at all? You just wait for the fullness of time. You just wait to see what God's going to take place. Oh, we've talked about His coming for years and years and years. Ever since that I was a little boy, I heard about the coming of the Lord. And we wonder and we wait. Oh, it couldn't be too much further. Matter of fact, I was 4 years old sitting on a cellar a door. We had a slanted cellar door in that old house. And I remember I was 4 years old, and I had rounded me up some pop bottles, and went down to Old Man Hawkins' store and bought me a bag of potato chips and some other things. And I ate the other things first, and I was going to save that bag of potato chips for Jesus. Amen. That was going to be my gift to Him. Amen. And I was so, as far as eternity was concerned, I couldn't imagine things being any further away. And I was willing to save that bag of chips for Jesus. Amen. But you know what? Jesus don't want our temporary things. Jesus wants our life. Jesus wants our plans and our dreams to be cast at His feet. Because in the fullness of time, when the whole picture, the whole scenario is looked over, amen, it's going to be what we've done for Christ that will really last. I mean, God takes everything into consideration. I mean, how can God allow certain things to take place in our country? And the talk and the rumors and the things that's going on right now within our own country, all the corruption and the vice and the wickedness and the deals that are made that may affect us for 20 or 50 or even 100 years could affect this country, are the deals that's taking place right now in high places. But I want to let you know something. In the fullness of time, when in God's plan and God's perspective, I mean, when God puts all the pieces together, it's going to make a picture fit for eternity. When God takes this thing and this individual and that individual, and He begins to, and you think, how in the world is God getting any glory about the corruption and the things that's going on? You just give Him time. I guarantee it. How could God possibly get any glory out of Pharaoh afflicting the children of Israel? How could God possibly be glorified in their task being laboring upon them more and more day by day? How could God possibly get any glory out of that? You just wait till the fullness of time when He calls up a man out of the wilderness that is slow of speech, and that is a little bit shaken in his confidence. One whom many years before had even murdered one of those Egyptians and was possibly a little bit afraid about what the consequences might be should he return. But in the fullness of time, in God's perspective, in God's plan, I mean, in the fullness of time, when God puts it all together,
yes, sir.
Amen. We'll see the end then. Amen. I mean, God for years, I mean, thousands of years, I mean, He could have sent Christ at any time. At any time, He could have sent Him. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. I mean, He was there from the very beginning. Not just from the beginning of the earth, but from the beginning of eternity. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He had it all. I mean, He had the Son with Him. At any given moment, He could have sent Him. But it took the fullness of time. It took that special moment when all things were right, when all hearts were ready, when all prophecies were fulfilled concerning it. And that special micro moment in eternity. I mean, when you're talking about eternity, you're talking about eons of ages, time that was before time and shall be forevermore. But in a microsecond of eternity, in a split second, when it was just right, God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was a time fit for me and you. And now the Bible talks about us being in that time of the Gentiles, because we're living in the fullness of time.
You're right.
Thank God. I'm glad to be part of that. But it takes God working in circumstances. God's will for our life is not necessarily just written all out in black and white, although it is, but yet He works in circumstances, and He works in people, and He uses people. That's right, He uses people for our good. I mean, some people do us wrong, but God still uses them for our good and for our benefit, because sometimes, even when done wrong, God allows us to a growth process to occur. Even in the harshness of wintertime, the tree seems to seek down its roots and strengthen itself somehow. Even during the time of turbulent storms, that plant seems to get a better grasp and a better hold of the ground. Even during the time of a drought, I mean, that root system seems to be reaching out and spreading forth. But in the fullness of time, when it's just right, You'll see the fruit come out.
Amen.
Some things you just have to patiently wait and patiently endure. Amen. I was praying one day and I said, "Oh God, I've got to know an answer. I mean, I've got to know now. I mean, I don't have any more time." And here I am. I'm just a spot in eternity, if you will. I mean, out of 6 billion people in the whole world, I mean, here is Jim Lawson praying in his chair, and he's saying, "Oh God, I've got to know now." And here are all these other needs throughout eternity. I've got to know now. And I turn to a verse of Scripture, and it says, "And ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God," thank God. You know what? When we take eternity into scope and into picture, we see things so much differently. And it's for our benefit. It's for our good. I was doing a job one time, and some things are not... some things you just have to wait through. And it would be rash to just jump right through something and say, "Okay, I've got this thing figured out. I'm going to go at it this way, and this is it going to be just the way that I ordered, just the way that I thought it should be. And I've got all my life designed and planned out here, and I'm going to do this with my life now, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to rearrange." But it will do you no good at all without God's perspective in the fullness of time. I was doing a job. There was a lady... I use that term loosely, but I was doing putting in a kitchen for a man and his wife, and things weren't not working out very good at all. I mean, every day my stomach was in knots. I would go in there and begin to work, and it was called a reface job. You know, you take the old doors off, you put nice new doors on, you re-veneer all the fronts, you put new doors on. And every day this lady stood over my shoulder. I couldn't hardly walk without just about bumping into her. And she was looking and looking up under the cabinets and doing this and pointing out that. And I said, "Lady, if you'll just be patient and wait." And I didn't say it quite like that at first. I said, "Ma'am, if you'll just be patient and wait, when this is all done, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. I mean, you're going to be so proud of this kitchen. I mean, it's going to be, all your friends will love it. It's going to be just what you thought it would be. Just like out of the pictures. Just like out of the showroom floor." And every day it was the same. And I had another job going on at the same time. And I was trying to keep my hands in that and in what I was doing and paying other fellas to take care of that job. And that job, there was some controversy in that particular job too. And it was tearing me apart. And I said, "God, I've got to have you with me today." I mean, I was praying. I didn't want to say anything or do anything or appear to be unprofessional. But I mean, it was tearing at me. I mean, this lady was driving me crazy. And I get in there toward the end of the job, I walked in, and the first thing that she asked me was, "Mr. Lawson, did one of your men drop something on my floor?" And I thought, well, no, I don't remember. No, I've tried to replace. You know, here I am. I'm just as trusting as can be, and I'm trying to recall every event, every step of the process that took place. And I'm, no, not one time did I remember anybody dropping anything on the floor. She says, "Well, what about that spot right there?" And I mean, here's a floor that's about 50 years old. The finishes wore plumb off of it. I mean, by the refrigerator, by the stove, the finish is just... The little speckles and nice things that used to be in the floor is not there anymore. It just wore off. And I said, "Well, no, it was so little, like a point of a pencil." And I said, no, I don't remember us dropping anything, especially there. Right. And something clicked. Something went off. I said, "Well, what about this spot over here?" She said, "Well, I don't remember being anything there either. Are you sure they didn't drop anything?" And then it hit me. This lady wants a new floor. And she wants a new floor at my expense. And all of a sudden, the fullness of time took place. I mean, when before I could have said, "Get out of my way, lady. I'm tired of you looking over my shoulder." The fullness of time had just erupted within me. And I said, "Uh-huh. I know where you're coming from now. Oh, I see." I said, "Ma'am, would you please go get your husband? We need to talk." And so she went in there. She was maybe thinking she was going to negotiate and get her a new floor, and everything was just going to be fine. I mean, she got her kitchen that way, I guess, and I guess she figured she's going to get her a floor that way. And so she says, they come in there, and I said, "I just want to talk to you just a little bit here about your floor." And I said, I want to let you know one thing. I'm not going to buy you a new floor. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to finish this job and it's going to look just like what I told you it would. And I know that you've went through your insurance company and it was a smoke damage job and all of that. But I want to let you know, so I'm going to do the best job I possibly can do for you. But when it's all done and when I've got everything finished, you're going to go to your checkbook and you're going to write me out a check for the completion of the job, or I'm going to go right down the corner and talk to your insurance agent about what's going on here. And you know what she did? She stayed out of my way the rest of the job. Didn't have any more problems with them. I mean, they were just, when the time the job was done, they were just tickled to death with it because the fullness of time had come. I mean, I had taken all I could take and my nerves was on edge. And I said, look, we're going to have to settle this thing. And here's the way that it's going to be. And you wonder, why is God allowing the things to transpire in your life? And why is not God sending forth His Son now to capture His church away? But I want to let you know something. In the fullness of time, when all circumstances have worked together for God's glory and for God's will, God is going to send forth His Son. He's going to capture away His church. He's going to bring His redeemed home with Him. Amen. The Bible tells us why. The Bible says from the beginning of time, you know, men had wondered and pondered and even questioned. You know, all things were as they are from the beginning. And still we hear about His coming and His second return. But God says, because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. You wonder why God is not allowed His Son to step out upon the portals of glory and call us home yet? And you've went through so much suffering and so much anxiety and so much trouble and so much turmoil. And you wonder, why now, Lord? Why now? I cannot take another moment of tribulation. I can't take another flood. I can't take another drought in my life. But when the fullness of time has come and when God takes all of these things into perspective and He uses this circumstance, in this circumstance, in this person, in this person. And the Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. You ever see two men that really know how to work together? I mean, whether they be on a construction job and Pete used to do a lot of roofing and do construction. I mean, when you get a group of guys that really know how to roof, I mean, they can take a roof and just, I mean, one thing right after another, just as he's getting ready to strike another nail, the man slides a shingle right out in front of him, and there he is, just hammering away all day long, and he'll look up at dinner time, and he, the thing's done, the whole side of the house has been completed. I mean, because these guys are working together. They know each other. They've been around each other. And they know what to expect. One guy will be down here unwrapping shingles. Another guy will be maybe carrying them up. Another guy will be laying them down. Another guy will be working on getting some nails ready or whatever. But all these circumstances working together. And those bad circumstances, those things that seem to be contrary to your nature and contrary to your will and contrary to the way that you would like for things to go, are working together. They may be negative influences, but I guarantee you, if God's got anything to do with your life, and He does. He absolutely does. Sure. He's got anything to do with your life, He uses both the good circumstances and the bad to bring about a perfection in your life. That in the fullness of time, when all things are just right, He's going to have a church without spot or without wrinkle. He's going to have, you know, it's God's will that we be perfected in Him. It's God's will that we be Christians, Christ-like, if you will. Amen. And so, with all things considered, with everything working together for our benefit, why should we worry? Why should we care? God has always been there. In our lowest valley, in our highest mountain. Amen. You give Him time because He has got all eternity in mind for you and for me. Thank God. Why would a nation like Israel have to go through the things that they've went through? I mean, I've heard one fella say, if we're God's chosen people, I wish He would choose somebody else. Do you understand what they have been through? I mean, God's chosen people. At the hands of a satanic, demoniac individual who care nothing for life whatsoever, who said that they were a lower life form than even a dog. And since they were a lower life form than even a dog, and since it's not against the law to kill a dog, then it would be no law against killing a Jew. But in the fullness of time, when God works all things together, both good and bad, both glorious and even the evil, God, you know, God even uses the devil. I hate to say it. I hate to even think it. But that's why God hasn't even destroyed him as of yet. He only lets the devil go as far as he wants him to go. I mean, you think the devil's giving you a rough time? You think he's giving you a flat and he's tore up your car and he's canceled this and he's just about ready to pull the rug out from under your house and everything's going wrong and you say, the devil's doing it and I don't know what else to do. Well, he may be involved in all of that. But I'm going to let you know, God's got him on a short leash. And he's not letting him go any further than what he allows him to. And it's for the perfection of the church. Oh, we don't want to hear that, Brother Lawson. But he's got him on a short leash and he's not letting him. Luther said he may be a devil, but he's God's devil. Do you understand? I mean, he may seem very powerful and very vicious and very terrible, and he is. But I want to let you know something. You're God's. And that's what makes the difference. I mean, concerning the world, the devil does his devilish deeds, and his terrible power is unleashed, and people are wrecked, and homes are destroyed, and alcoholism, and drugs, and all the evils and atrocities in this world are the result of the devil, and he's playing havoc on this world, and it's a terrible thing what's going on. But you're God's, and that's what makes all the difference in the world, because in the fullness of time, when looked at through God's perspective, when looked at through eternity, when you look back and you see how far He's brought you from, it's such a mighty long way from where you used to be. Thank God. When you just look back just a few years ago and see just where God had brought you up from and just where you could have been today, had not the wonderful grace of God intervened in your heart and in your life, just think of what... I mean, if you was on a fast track to hell then, just think of where you could have been today. Amen. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. Aren't you glad you know Him tonight? I mean, we could talk about a lot of things when we come into the house of the Lord. And we can mention a lot of different things that's going on in this life and in this world. But I want to let you know something. God has got it all in control. And He is working both good and bad together, that the glory of God may be even more glorified. That He's working all things together for our benefit. And you know what? That makes the devil absolutely sick. That he could try to do something so terrible and so vicious and so mean and so cruel, and God turns it right around and turns the tables on him, and he takes that cruel and vicious and terrible thing and turns it into something good and causes his name to be glorified even more. I mean, you think about eternity. When the fullness of time has come, through the bitter winters, through the cold storms, through the droughts in your life, I mean, God is sinking us deeper and helping us to call out to Him more. Amen. In my distress, David said, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. Thank God. If it wasn't for the distress, I wonder if he would have cried. If it wasn't for the Nathan that pointed his finger in his face and told him that little story, I wonder if he would have repented. But it took a negative influence, if you will, in his life to turn about and make a positive. I mean, all things work together. Don't be discouraged, church. Don't be dismayed. Don't be so caught up in what's going on around us. I mean, there are terrible instances taking place in the world. And if you listen on a daily basis, you think, man, oh man, if something's going to have to happen soon and I don't know what to do. And oh, I don't even know which way to turn. Just turn the same way you've been turning ever since you've known Him. Turn right down on your face, on your knees, and begin to pray and to cry out. And you'll begin to see and begin to understand it better. By and by. I never would have dreamed. I mean, I was 14 years old. I got saved in a little Free Will Baptist church. Nobody else in my family saved. And there was such a trial in my life at that time. Some fellas in the church began to ask questions, and we was begin to have some discussions, and we ran into some other folks out doing some visitation, some Pentecostal folks, and they began to share with us about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we began to talk to these guys, and before you know it, I began to be seeking the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that little Free Will Baptist church. And I remember it just like it was yesterday, that pastor asking me to come over to his house on such and such a date at such and such a time because we needed to talk about something. And I knew exactly what... I mean, I didn't know all the doctrinal differences of the church, but I knew what he wanted to talk about. And I was so distraught. I mean, 14 years old, and I wasn't trying to overturn the church by no means, but I was just seeking the Lord and trying to draw closer to Him. And some of the young people were trying to seek the Lord and draw closer to Him. And we began to study about this baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was so weary and so torn up after that conversation. I just didn't know what in the world to do. But when you look back and you see how far God's brought you from, thank God. Can you believe what He's done in your life? And here we are now. I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was called to preach. I mean, God has worked all things together for our good. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? That God can take circumstances, situations, even people in your life and cause you to grow. Amen. Thank God. But in the fullness of time, when it's all said and done, you'll see fruit on that tree after a while. Amen. You'll see fruit. Let's come around the altar and pray. Let's ask God to move in this service. Let's ask God to help us see through eyes of eternity that we'll be able not just to look at the matter and look at the situation and make a quick and harsh and snap judgment of what things are taking place, but say, Lord, I lay myself on the altar and I'm yours for eternity. Amen. Let's pray.